The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then we go to our second scripture reading, which is also the text for this morning, John 10, from verse 11 to 21. It's part of the section where Jesus was talking about who he is, where he's, I'm the way, the life, etc., the I am sayings, and it comes just after he had healed a blind man. From verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon, he's insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? So far the reading. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, if you've ever been to one of those massive farms or stations we have here in Australia, you'll have seen how farmers herd their sheep. They get on motorbikes or even utes and drive the sheep ahead of them. It's the same sort of idea for those farmers who use sheep dogs. They walk behind the sheep and send the dogs to this side and to that, all the while driving the sheep ahead of them. But it was and still is quite different in the Middle East. The story is told of a tourist guide who was telling his group of tourists about this particular difference, about how in the Middle East, the shepherds always lead their flocks. Here, he said, the shepherd always leads the way. He's the one who walks in the front and the sheep follow him. They know his voice and they follow him. And much to the amusement of the tourists, the guide had just finished telling them this when a flock of sheep was driven across the road, and here the shepherd came walking after them. And the guide was quite astonished, and he was obviously quite embarrassed too. And he exclaimed to the shepherd, what are you doing? Why are you driving these sheep? Why aren't they following you? You know that here shepherds always lead the sheep. You're quite right, sir, the man replied. The shepherd does lead his sheep. But you see, I'm not the shepherd. I'm the butcher. Now keep that image in your mind. Friends, the way shepherding is done varies across the world. So when we read and hear that Jesus says he's the good shepherd, we have to think about what that means. We have to think about how that applies in our lives. Our passage tells us in verses 11 to 13 that the good shepherd sacrifices. The next couple of verses, 14 to 16, tells us that the good shepherd knows his sheep and they know him. Verses 17 and 18 tells us the good shepherd willingly lays down his life. And then verses 19 to 21 also tells us that the good shepherd divides. The good shepherd sacrifices, verses 11 to 13. Now, throughout Scripture, shepherding sheep is viewed or associated with good leadership. The very first shepherd we read of is Abel. Abel, who did what was right in God's eyes. Jacob, Israel's founder, was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd who was looking after sheep in Midian when God called him through the burning bush to lead his people out of Egypt. David was out in the field shepherding when he was called upon to be anointed as king. And in this passage, Jesus says he is the good shepherd. And then he shows us what a good shepherd is like, what it's all about. So what is it, according to Jesus, that makes a good shepherd? What is it that separates the good and bad shepherds? It's firstly, sacrifice. It's the willingness to give up everything for the sake of the sheep. Listen again to verses 11 to 13 where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, on the other hand, since he's not the shepherd and he doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches them and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired man, a hired hand, and he doesn't care about the sheep. You see, a good shepherd is so invested in his sheep that he's willing to sacrifice for them. He does that because the sheep are his. He's bought them. They are his. Now, when you think about how valuable a sheep is to a shepherd, it all comes down to cost, the cost that shepherd was willing to pay for the sheep. If this was a free sheep, or if they were someone else's sheep, he's not going to do as much for them or for that sheep, that particular sheep, as when it was his own. But imagine if that shepherd had spent his life savings purchasing his flock of sheep. That flock of sheep would be very precious, very valuable to him. He'd be willing to put himself on the line for that flock. When the wolves come, he's the one who stands in front of the sheep, staff in hand, ready to fight. He's the one who lies down in the gateway of the sheep pen, spreading his body across that entrance to make sure no wicked thing comes in to steal that sheep. He's the one who spends the nights out there in the cold, exposed, making sure the sheep are kept safe and warm. He's the one who leads the sheep to good pasture through all the dangers along the road. He does this because he genuinely cares about what happens to the sheep. He cares about their well-being. The good shepherd lives a life of sacrifice for the sake of the sheep. It's a physically demanding task. It's emotionally draining even. It might be thankless. But a shepherd's life is and has to be a life of sacrifice and giving. A bad shepherd isn't like that. He's like a hired hand who's got no personal stake in the sheep that he's supposed to be looking after. And so when danger comes, when things get hard, he just choofs off somewhere, leaving the sheep to be torn apart by the wolves. A bad shepherd makes no effort to keep the flock together. He isn't willing to put himself on the line. He's only in it for personal gain. This is how you can tell good shepherds from bad ones. Are they in the shepherding gig, as it were, for themselves or for the sake of the flock? Are they willing to sacrifice for the sake of the flock? Are they willing to take the hard knocks for the flock, or do they just up and run away? Are they willing to lead the sheep to where the good pasture is, even though there are dangers and difficulties along the way, and even though other people might disagree with them? Are they willing to do the right thing for the well-being of the flock, even though that might come at great personal cost? People of God, this is also how you are to evaluate me and the other office bearers who have been tasked to shepherd you. Now, of course, no one can compare with Jesus, for it is his blood that was shed as a sacrifice for our sins. That's not something that we can do, of course. But Jesus did model for us a life of sacrificial servitude for all of us, but especially for those who are office bearers in his church. And if we're not willing for the sake of the flock to sacrifice the flock of Jesus in this place, then we shouldn't be in leadership either. You are to evaluate me and the rest of the management team, the rest of the session, in this way too. Are we willing to sacrifice for you? But you also have to ask yourself that question. Are you willing to sacrifice for your God? Beloved, Jesus shed his blood for us. He sacrificed everything for us. You are valuable to him. So valuable that he gave his life to buy you. That's the first thing we see in this text, that Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for his sheep. He lays down his life for you and for me. The second thing we see is that the good shepherd knows his sheep and they know him. That's verses 14 to 16 where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. Now obviously that last part refers to the people of the Gentiles also coming into God's kingdom. It's not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles also. We're not going to spend too much time on that part. I want to look at what Jesus means when he says he is the good shepherd. Now friends, Jesus knows you. He knows you inside out, warts and all. He knows your darkest fears. He knows what scares you in the night. He knows about those things that have hurt you in the past and how those things have shaped you. He knows about that bully at school that called you names and to this day makes you scared of people who even speak loudly to you. He knows of that time when someone you loved did something that left you devastated or deeply disappointed. He knows about how your husband or your wife or those girls at school said things to you that cut you so deeply. He also knows your weaknesses. He knows the sins that keep tripping you up. He understands the struggle that you have with those things that you just can't seem to stop doing. He knows your heart. He knows also your earnest desire to serve him. He gets your unmet expectations, disappointments, the drives, the passions, the things that inspire you. He knows what goes on inside you as you walk into this building. Your shepherd knows you because he made you. And he knows you better than you even know yourself. And despite that, he loves you anyway. So much so that he's willing to lay down his life for you, to die for you, despite knowing you. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? To know that our shepherd, your shepherd, was willing to sacrifice everything for us, even knowing all our weaknesses, even knowing all our shortcomings, even knowing all our sins. That's staggering. How blessed are we to have a wonderful Savior like that. But these verses don't only tell us that the good shepherd knows his sheep. The sheep also know the shepherd. They just don't just know him or know about him. They also know his voice. They listen to his voice. Friends, how well do you know your shepherd? How well do you know Jesus? How well do you know his word? How well do you know and can you discern what is right and wrong based on what the Bible teaches, not on what the world teaches? See, despite all the knowledge and all the information that's available in this world today, this is most likely the most biblically illiterate generation in the past couple of hundreds of years. And because of that, heretical teaching flourishes. Because the sheep do not know the voice of the shepherd. Do you know? Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Do you listen to his voice? Do you obey his commands? Verse 16 tells us that the sheep listen to Jesus' voice. They follow him. Beloved, being a Christian means listening to the voice of Jesus, to his voice that's given to us through his word. It means to get to know him, to follow him, and to obey him. Not just to know the words, but to live them out. It's crucial, therefore, for our spiritual well-being to be saturated with and saturated in the Word of God. That's one of the reasons it's so important for us to gather together as God's people on a Sunday to be nourished and fed from His Word. That's why it's so important for us to get together to study God's Word together. That's why we just have to spend time in God's Word. Otherwise, we cannot know what His will for us is. We cannot know if things that other people tell us line up with God's word. That's when we become spiritually weak. That's when we start following our own wills instead of God's will. That's when we start accepting some of the heresies that are out there. That's when we become sick sheep who cannot tell right from wrong or truth from half-truth. Sick sheep who can't or don't want to recognize their shepherd's voice. That's when we start following other shepherds. Now, the story is told of how an Aussie farmer traveling through the Middle East came across these three shepherds bringing their sheep to drink from the same little stream. And as these sheep came together, they just rushed to that water and got all mixed up. And after a while, the first shepherd rose up and called out, "Mena, Mena," which is the Arabic way of saying, "Follow me." And his sheep came out of that common herd and followed him up the hillside. The next shepherd did the same, and off his sheep went after him. And our Aussie friend thought to himself, "Struth, how hard can this be? I bet I can do this too." So he tells the remaining shepherd, "Give me your coat and your turban and your shepherd's staff so I can get the sheep to follow me." And after putting on that shepherd's coat and his headgear, he started calling out, "Mena, Mena," but nothing happened. The sheep didn't move. You see, they did not know his voice. Even though the words were the same, they did not know his voice. So he asked the shepherd, "Doesn't your flock ever follow someone else?" "Oh yes," the shepherd replied. "Sometimes a sheep gets sick, and then he will follow anyone." Friends, healthy sheep know their shepherd's voice. Healthy sheep listen to their shepherd's voice. They recognize their shepherd's voice, and they listen to him. How well do we know our shepherd's voice? Are we listening? Are we obeying? Verses 11 to 16 tell us about how the good shepherd sacrifices for his sheep and how he knows them and how they know him. The next two verses, 17 and 18, tell us about that the sacrifice of the shepherd is a willing sacrifice. The good shepherd willingly sacrifices. Jesus says, "This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." Now, folks, one of the biggest arguments that people today have against God being good is that he sent his Son to die on the cross. Some people, in essence, accuse God of divine child abuse. If God sent his own Son to die in the place of others, they say, he cannot really love him. If he's willing to sacrifice his own child, God must be cruel and evil, and therefore he's not worth worshipping. But beloved in our Lord Jesus, this flies in the face of what Jesus himself says. It's not that God sent Jesus to die against his own will. It's not as if Jesus had no say in the matter, had no power or no authority in this matter. No. When Jesus lays down his life, he does so willingly. He's not the victim of an abusive father or of circumstances that are beyond his control. He's not unwilling to go. He doesn't struggle against the hands of those Roman guards who came to arrest him. He goes willingly. He knew full well what was happening, and he went anyway. He freely laid down his life because he chose to do so. Now, Jesus coming down to lay down his life for his sheep is an amazing expression of the love of the Father and the Son for each other, but also for us. See, Jesus' death isn't a last-minute strategy, a Hail Mary, so to speak. It's not an act of desperation. He's not being forced into an unexpected death. Excuse me. In the book of Acts, Luke writes that Jesus was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. The whole ministry of Jesus from the very beginning has moved towards this final act of obedience, this offering himself up for the sake of the sheep. When Jesus hangs up there on the cross, it's not the nails in his hands and his feet that keep him hanging there until he dies. It's his love for his sheep. No one takes my life away from me, he says, but I lay it down on my own. Do you see the beauty of this? Does it stir your soul? Jesus willingly sacrifices. He willingly gives up his life so that you may live, so that I may live. This is how good the Good Shepherd is. The beauty of his goodness is shown in how he so willingly and so graciously sacrifices himself for his sheep. The Good Shepherd sacrifices for his sheep, even though he knows them. And he does so willingly. But then in the final three verses, we also see that the Good Shepherd divides. Jesus' words create a division in his audience. And this is still the case today, isn't it? For there are really only two responses to the Good Shepherd. Either we have to reject him as someone who's demon-possessed, who's crazy, or we have to follow him and obey his words. There's no middle ground for us. There's no middle ground. We are either in his sheepfold or we are not. Jesus is either a crazy, demon-possessed person or he's the one for whom and through whom everything was created. He's either the one whose words we can question or he's the one whom we believe and trust unwaveringly. He's either the one whose teachings we reject or he's the one for whom we live and whom we obey. Jesus is either a madman or he is who he says that he is, the Son of God, who's not only healed the blind or the lame, but who has healed us spiritually as well. There are only two responses to Jesus. You either accept him as Lord, Lord of all, or you reject him. That's the point here. You're either for Jesus or you're against him. And that's the question to you and to me this morning as well. Are you in? Are we in or out? Are you in the sheepfold of Jesus or out? Or to put it another way, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to you? He has laid down his life for you. How do you respond to that? Have you learnt to recognize his voice by spending time with him? Are you listening to that beautiful shepherd voice? Or have you started all wandering off and listening to other voices? Will you this morning wholeheartedly commit your life to the one who loved you so much that he gave you his life so that you can live? Are you willing to come and to accept and follow the words of the Good Shepherd? Will you commit to responding to him by spending the rest of your life, the rest of your life, getting to know him better and making him known also to others? Will you worship him as the good and wonderful shepherd that he is? Will you say like the Joshua of old, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? That's one way of responding to Jesus. The other way is to reject him. We reject him by not putting him as the highest priority in our lives. Yes, higher even than our spouses or our children or our work. We reject him by choosing not to spend time with him in prayer, by choosing not to spend time in his word. We reject his authority over the whole of our lives by picking and choosing which of his commandments we'll obey. Beloved brother and sister, how will you respond to the call of the Good Shepherd? I pray that we'll all say, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I want to follow. In the light of his life, in his light of life, I will walk till my time on earth is done." Let's pray. Our Lord, you are the Good Shepherd, and we are your sheep. And yet, Lord, we recognize that sometimes our ears and our eyes and our minds wander towards other shepherds. We confess that we don't spend as much time with you and in your word as we should. So, Lord, we pray that because we know that you are the Good Shepherd, that we will follow you, that we will listen for your voice and to your voice, that we will get to know you. We'll get to know your voice through what you've revealed to us. And Lord, that we will obey you and live for you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.